is divine power to fulfill what is spoken. None of my words will be delayed anymore. That's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying that at the time of Ezekiel 12, in the arena especially of the prophetic grace, the prophetic gift is now here. None of my words are going to be delayed anymore. You will speak a thing and you will see the thing come to pass. And you can also put that same prophetic confession to work in your personal lives, in your individual lives. Begin to declare the promises of God with confidence over your life. Begin to declare the promises of God with confidence over your life. Declare the promises of God. Look for where a particular promise is and begin to speak that thing and say that in the name of Jesus, I empower that word. I empower that word to come to pass. I empower that word to become real. I empower that word to become active. I empower that word to be loosed in my life to perform miracles in the name of Jesus. I send that word forth with an assignment. I send that word forth into my broken marriage. I send that word forth against this sickness that has troubled me for this much amount of time. I send the word forth to revive the dead things in my life. I send the word forth to uproot every tear and every evil planting that an enemy has put into my life. I send that word forth against my dysfunctional family members. My family members will no longer be scattered by the enemy. My family members are now going to be gathered in faith. My family members are now going to be established in righteousness. My family members will no longer be prey for the devil. My family members will no longer be abused by whatever type of authoritarian system is rising in the earth today. I loose and deliver my family members from the oppression of the enemy, from the power of addictive substances. I loose my family members from having to serve additional time in prison. I speak life over my family members so that my family members can be loosed from serving time in prison. I speak that my family members are going to become recipients of God's grace. They are no longer going to be the tail. They are now promoted to being the head. I speak the word of God over my life that I am blessed in the country and I am blessed in the city. I am blessed in my rising up. I am blessed in my laying down. I am blessed in my going out. I am blessed in my coming in. I am a blessed child of God. As soon as the nations hear of me, they obey me. As soon as the territories experience me walking into them, they begin to bow down to the God in me. This is what God is saying, that we should exalt the word of God above our own opinions. The Lord is saying that there's too much opinionated confusion in the house of God, because the people of God think that the word of God is something that exists for them to debate. They think that the word of God is something that exists for them to debunk. The people of God think that the word of God is something that they're supposed to be fighting with all the time and saying, but what about this? But what about that? God is saying that your unsubmitted heart is the reason why you've been in the same position for so many years, because you keep thinking that God has to prove something to you instead of you showing God that you're a ready candidate for his power to work on behalf of. You're so full of yourself. You're so full of your views, and you're so full of your thoughts, and you're so full of this is the way it's always been. And that is why the power of God cannot hit you. The power of God is being prevented from activity in your life. Your attitude and the hardness of your heart, and he also says the blinkeredness of your mind and how you look at life. You minimize God to a full stop at the end of a sentence. You make him so small as if he's incapable. You make it seem as if God can't do anything until you see how it can happen. And who told you that the one who rode, he walked upon the waters and he caused the seas to be calm? Who told you that that kind of person needs to check in with you? Who told you that that kind of person needs to check in with you before anything can happen? God is saying, who told you that I need your buy-in to move? Who told you that I had a discussion with Moses before I parted the seas? Even Moses didn't know what I was going to do. I asked him, why do you cry to me? Moses was crying out along with the people because Moses had no idea what came next. As the leader, he simply knew that God was enough, and he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord in that instant responded to a distress cry from his children, and he made a way where there was no way. And Psalm 77 is the proof of that. Your way led through the sea, the scripture says, a way that no one knew was there. Your pathway led through the mighty waters, a pathway that nobody knew was there. God is the one who holds the secrets for our deliverance. God is the one who holds the secrets for our next step. But the problem is that we are lacking in faith. We don't actually know what is our part to do. We are to believe upon the Lord, but we are an unbelieving generation at this time. We have no faith in us. The faith in us has been killed by this desire to appear logical and more intelligent than the next person. Christianity has been reduced to an intellectual debate. Everybody wants to show that they know more scripture than the next person. And so they sit and they butcher the scripture together, trying to outdo each other. And the faith is dead in them. Faith without works is dead. What is the point of debating scripture if you don't actually have the guts to stand up and take the next step in what you claim you want God to do for you? What part are you going to play? Is it a matter of talk? Is salvation a matter of talk? Is this what God has saved us for? Is this why God has won our salvation on the cross, for us to become intellectual debaters of the day? Faithless when confronted by problems, when confronted by crises, unable to rise to the challenge. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. There's no faith in the church to rise to the next challenge. And that is why so many, I see people wilting like wax before fire. God says you will melt like wax before the fire, for you have not strengthened yourself against the evil day at all. You have not strengthened yourself against the challenges that are coming to your daily lives. You have not strengthened yourself in the Lord your God to assure yourself at bedrock level, at the level of your soul. You have not strengthened yourself enough to believe that no matter what happens, God is for you, that he is not against you, he is not your enemy, that he is not sneaky and underhanded, that he's not waiting to watch you suffer for a season before he steps in to help you. Practicing faith is practicing the knowledge of the God you claim to follow. If you have no knowledge of God, no knowledge of his character, no knowledge of the fact that he is at all times good, there is no darkness nor shadow of turning. He is good in all seasons, in the trials, in the darkness, in the struggles. I am good, says the Lord. I am only good. I am ever good. I can only be good. I have no other posture. My goodness is so great that it could almost be a separate entity on its own. I am good embodied. I am what good means. I, the Lord, am good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean to man's understanding. You cannot understand the things that are coming upon this world. The sea is going to be split. The sea is going to open up its mouth and be split. Can you comprehend these things? Can you comprehend the uncovering of the depths? Do you not know that the bed of the sea will be exposed? Do you not know that the bed of the sea will be seen by man's eye? I will divide the ocean. If you can comprehend it, I am greater than your thoughts, oh man. I am greater than your petty assumptions about me. I cannot be contained by your limited understanding. Why do you seek to reduce me to something that you can understand? Why do you dishonor me in this way? Why are you so small in your thinking, but so great in your estimation of yourselves? You see yourselves as gods. You see yourselves as gods. You see yourselves as equal with me. This is why you question me when I speak to you. This is why you question my authority to judge you. This is why you refuse to accept my correction, because you believe that we are equals. You think that you are equal with me, but you are not. Your breath is in my hand. Your candle is before my altar. If I snuff it out, you would go into darkness and be no more. Why do you not have an understanding of how small you are when compared to me? You cannot comprehend my thoughts. You are not my equals. I am the Lord alone. I alone am God. And beside me, there is none other. I am He. And this is why you fall. And this is why you fail. And this is why you cannot accomplish the things that you dream. You don't have faith. You lack the fundamental building blocks that I said. This is the substance of the things that you hope for. Your faith is the evidence of the thing you can't yet see. If you question, if I can do what you hope for, where is your faith? If you see what you hope for, it's not faith. Even those who are not born again can believe if they see what they want in front of them. It does not take faith if the thing is there before you. But when it does not exist, and you have the belief in my power to recreate out of nothing what you can see with the eyes of faith, then that is faith. That is active posture of faith. Why do you question everything? Why do you think you have to have a full picture of what I will do when you do not know if you will wake up the next morning? Why do you question the Lord? Why do you rebuke His messengers? Why do you reject my spirit when it comes to you in my sons and daughters? Why do you refuse to let me lead you? I said gently I would lead you, but you would not. You have resisted me, America. You have resisted me, O nation of gods. You have rejected my teaching. You have cast away my messengers. You have mocked them and you have cursed them. And you have put them behind your back. So I put you behind my back. I will make the sun go down on you of a clear day. I will cause you to go into darkness from which there is no escape. I will cause the sun to fail you, United States of America. I will bring your flag down to half mast, and you will mourn and you will grieve and you will lament, for your sons and daughters will fall and you will see them fall. King Zedekiah knows the pain that I speak of. His eyes were put out, but not before his sons were slaughtered in front of him. The last sight he ever saw was life leaving all his boys. His male seed was wiped out because he was a rebellious king and he would not listen to the prophet Jeremiah. You have done worse than this man has ever done. You have done worse than he has ever done. You have rejected my teaching. You have departed from all my laws. My temples lie in ruins in this nation. You build palaces, but I tell you, the temple of the Lord has fallen in America. The temple of the Lord has been methodically broken down brick by brick because of the structures and because of the policies and because of the government and because of the people. Your hearts are adulterous. Your hearts are adulterous. You worship money and you run after sex and the pleasure of your flesh. You refuse to let the spirit lead you. You refuse to come away from a carnal lifestyle and become washed in the blood of the Lamb and made holy and made righteous. You absolutely reject sound teaching and you do not want to hear the truth of the Holy Spirit. How long will I strive with you? How long will I strive with you? How long will I fight you? How long will I call you to come into safety? Can you not see the destruction at the door? Can you not see the enemy on your shores? Can you not see that your watchmen who stand upon the wall have fallen asleep, America. You imagine yourself so watchful. You imagine yourself so safe. You trust in these little electronic weapons of warfare, and yet those weapons of warfare will be disabled in an instant, in a heartbeat. All of them will be made inoperative. Not a single one of them will respond to your command. You will be left without protection. You will be left exposed. As a carcass of meat is left exposed to the elements, and it begins to stink, it begins to rot, it begins to turn, it begins to invite and become a home for maggots. This is how you are in my sight. America, you have turned. America, you are a stench. Your harlotries have covered the entire earth. The children are no longer innocent because of you. Their hearts have turned away from me completely. They are not following me. They follow their flesh. They follow impulse. They follow the evil actions of the adults that came before them. Thus says the Lord, I have numbered your kingdom. I have found you wanting. You are as light in the eternal balances as a feather. America, you are a soiled feather fallen from a strange bird. I see as if a bird is on fire, a strange looking bird that is so ugly to see. And the thing is trying to fly, but the tail feathers are on fire. The wings are on fire. This is no eagle. This is a strange concoction of a bird. And it's plummeting out of the sky because it's on fire. It is falling so rapidly out of the heavens because this thing is on fire. And a feather is coming off it, and that thing falls into the balances, and all the weight of the sins against this feather cannot balance it out. As weak and as light as a feather, America, you have lost all your weight. You have lost all your balance. You are going to be pushed over by the smallest of countries. The smallest of countries are going to defy you. When you speak, no one is going to listen. No one is going to pay attention. No one is going to give reverence and honor to the United States. Your Constitution is being torn in half in secret board meetings as I speak. As I speak, sovereignty is being lost in this country. Sovereignty, the right to rule, the right to self-determination, the right for a people to decide who their leaders will be and what their laws will dictate for all of them to live by. God says that thing is lost. The Constitution is compromised. The Constitution of the United States is a toothless bulldog, and very soon it will be made. It will be made obvious to you. Very soon you will start to see the kinds of changes that are going to be integrated in society. We're going to depart from a society of the people, by the people, and it's going to become a top-down society. It's going to become a society of mass control, where the masses are controlled by a very small elite at the top, almost like Cesar Borgia and his family. Almost like these ruling Italian mafia families. It's going to be something like that. An insulated elite, very small and very cliquish. You can't get in. Ruling everything, ruling everybody. Laws that dictate certain things, a certain type of life. A new type of society, I'm telling you, a new type of system. Everything is click button, push button, press button, scan. Everything is just automated. Everything is just controlled. Everything, God says, no privacy. You will feel as if you're stripped naked. The questions you don't want to answer, you're going to have to answer. They're going to be routine questions, questions that you wouldn't even want to answer from a friend if you didn't feel that you trusted the person enough, if you didn't feel that you wanted to have that kind of conversation with the person. You'll be having that kind of conversation with the Border Patrol guard, and you will not be allowed to show annoyance. You will not be allowed to show irritation. You will not be allowed to show that you don't like it. You will have to manage your emotions all the time, all the time. You will constantly self-evaluate. You will constantly self-evaluate. Should I say this? Is it worth it to say this? What is the best way to say this? You will self-monitor. You will check yourself all the time. It will become routine. And it will be exhausting. It will be tiresome. It will be tiring to constantly have to deflate your human emotions and put on another persona. It's almost like a work persona. It's almost like the thing that people call corporate speak, work speak. You will have to be in that skin all the time, except for when you're at home with your family, or perhaps when it's time to go to bed, or when you spend your private time with God in your heart. You will have to get used to very, very secluded private time, because it's a monitoring system that's coming. More ears than you think. More ears than you think. Places are going to be wired. Sensitive microphone systems picking up casual chatter, picking up public conversations are going to be monitored. The train is going to be wired. The bus is going to be wired. Authority figures are going to be wired, and you won't know. For instance, it'll be in the NYPD badge. It'll be in the police badge. Tiny mic, the smallest. I'm telling you, these people have created technology that is out of this world. They are not showing it at the exhibitions. They're not showing it at the science fairs. They're not showing it at the shows. They're not showing it to us, but God says it is going to be a highly integrated monitoring world. Cameras watching from everywhere. Cameras watching from places that they have never been able to put cameras before. They will be able to put cameras there, and it will be like what I'm seeing is as the perspective of a beetle or a bug or a fly or a bumblebee. You know how they have 60 eyes. 50 eyes, just hundreds of eyes. That's what it's going to be looking like to these guys that will sit and watch the cams. They're going to put these cameras everywhere. So you that likes to talk a lot, you that thinks, oh, I'm here on my private boat and whatever, and I'm in a safe space, you will learn to talk so much less. You will learn to have so few opinions. One party system. The party of Borgia. Cesare Borgia was a historical figure known for so much mafia tendencies. High ranking, powerful family, very powerful clan. Had his fingers in the arts, had his fingers in the medical industry, was giving commission to all the scientists and the inventors of the day. Just was linked and power coordinated everywhere. One party system, no longer voting, no longer free, no longer for the people, by the people. No more engagement of the common man with the elite. A clear separation of classes, God is saying. The haves and the have-nots will never be as separated as they will be in the future system that is coming to the world. This system is a worldwide system. The haves and the have-nots, the rulers and the ruled, that is how it will be. And at the top of this dragon sitting and surveying all his kingdom. The Lord told us long ago, very early on in the Gospels, that the dragon went to the top of the mount, taking Jesus there. And it says he surveyed all the kingdoms of the world. And then he told Jesus, "These are all mine." This is a story that took place thousands of years ago. But Satan was saying, even back then, before we had the automated cities that we have now, Satan was declaring with clarity that all that pertains to them, their daily life, the way they have their operations, their logistics, their political systems, their medical systems, what they teach their children, the entire ebb and flow of education, their belief systems, why they make their societies the way they make them. They are under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. This is the declaration he was making before the Lord, and the Lord did not correct him. But believers act as if they live in a world that serves God. They act as if they live in a world where they just have to casually say, God wins, God wins. In the end, we win. This is what I see. People just opening their hands casually and thinking that all it takes to be victorious in the end times is just to say, don't worry, don't worry. In the end, we win. Bloodshed is ahead of us. A hard impact. We are going to be hard impacted into this system. Do not think that we will go into this system quietly. We are going into this system by means of crisis, the kind of crisis that we have never seen before. They will make us cry for this system. They will make us open our mouths and agree to this system. Duplicity and subterfuge, the Lord says, a deception, a trap, a lie. They will hurt you and then bring the solution to the hurt and make you ask for it. And then they will bring it. And that is so that the next time anyone complains about the system, they will say, you asked for it. You asked for it. We asked you if you wanted us to do this and that in exchange for this and that. And you said yes. God says that people are going to give up their freedom to stay secure. They're going to give up their freedom. They're going to give up their rights to be made secure. And if it's a question of being made secure, then that means that someone is going to create an environment of insecurity so that you can desire security, peace, and safety. Who can claim that the Bible did not reveal this to us before the time? Who can claim that the Word of God was not absolute in encapsulating everything that we see, all of the monitoring systems that we have? Everything was in the Word of God, veiled, and now the time has come for it to come out, and now it's being unveiled by the Spirit of the Lord. But are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? Men's hearts failing them. I'm telling you guys on this line. People's hearts just flat line when they realize that certain things they have always taken for granted, the right to travel, you will apply to get out of your subdivision. You will apply to walk down the street to go and do something that you've always done and you've never ever thought that you would be limited in doing that, in going here, in going there, in having that, in requesting this. You will have to report every single dime that you're making, every single side cent, every movement of money will be tracked. Every movement of money will be looked at, questioned, scrutinized, and if it seems like it's too much, it's going to be reduced. It's going to be automatically reduced. That's too much money for you. You're a single person. Why are you making all this money? It's not about entrepreneurial grift. It's not about how skilled you are. I don't care what you can invent. It's going to be turned into a parastatal. The state is going to take it. It's going to be nationalized. It's going to be unionized. It's going to become social property. You invent something that's good and you think you're going to use capitalism to make money off it? Not so. Your thing is going to be beamed across the nation. It's going to be beamed across the country on these big screens, introducing the new this and that and that. It's going to be made state property and you're going to be told, thank you. Thank you for empowering the Reich. And the Lord was just talking about this to me this morning about the Reich. Thank you for empowering the Reich. Those of you who have studied Germany and what she went through, you are the best prepared people to understand what America is going to be like. Heil beast government. This same blueprint of Nazi Germany is going to be followed in this country, step by step, brick by brick. There will be no bus stops skipped. America is going to be exactly like the Third Reich. The final master plan, everything that Hitler did not manage to accomplish in Nazi Germany, America is going to try it. The Fourth Reich, the final Reich. This country will be worse than Germany. This country is going to be worse than Germany ever was. The killing, the camps, the accusation, the midnight raids, hiding from the government because you said something and you thought you had the right to speak, free speech. It's a figment of imagination. It's imaginary. It's not real. Everything you say is going to count against you. Every single viewpoint that you have, you that needs to talk about everything, you will be talking at the price of your head. You will be talking at the price of your wife and your children's head. Public execution for a mere statement. You will be made an example, and small children will stand and watch you executed in the street. America, your tarmac will be bloody. Public execution, public hanging in the age of AI, in the age of Siri, in the age of Alexa. We are going back to the Wild West. Public hanging in this modern country, says the Lord. Public execution, losing your life for ideology, for your views. College professors, you're on the hit list and you don't even know it. With every lecture that you give, you are shortening your lifespan, especially if you are radical, especially if you are idealistic. You are already on the list. Religious zealots, you who preach the word of God, this is a different situation. This is a different situation that we are going to be submerged into. I see America going under the sea. The whole country is going to be submerged in what looks like ink. The times of the Middle Ages. Unimaginable cruelty. Man to man, one to another, brother to brother in this country. People will turn their family member over for money. They will turn their family member over for state incentives, beast credits, beast money, benefits, the ability to ride first class on the new super trains that are coming. That kind of thing. People will turn you over. Enemies will make up stories about you. Enemies will lie on you. People will snitch on their nearest and dearest. People will be so selfish, so cold, so self-serving. I am telling you, the trying of the gospel is at hand. The righteous will be tried living in a society like this. You will be tried to still be kind, to still be loving, to still manifest all the nature of the God you are serving now. You serve God now and there's no challenge to you whatsoever. This is what the Holy Spirit says. It's easy to be a Christian because you've never suffered a challenge. The things you've been through in your life, these are not the challenges that are ahead. Do you know what it is to serve God in an era where the spirit of lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity, that is the general stench that comes off of Satan. If Satan had a cologne and he was wearing it, what it smelled like would be lawlessness. What it stunk like would be iniquity. Do you know what it is to exist for the Lord Jesus Christ in a society that wholeheartedly serves machines, robots? Satan is thirsty, is lustful for development, lustful for technology, lustful to transform themselves and become the so-called best versions of themselves. Transhumanism, leaving the mortal body behind. Why die? Why die? You can live forever. Do you know what it is to stay true to Jesus Christ in the midst of that kind of temptation that is compelling because physical spirits are putting it into the minds of people that being human and being born again is not enough? That they can be as the gods. It takes a different type of intimacy. This world that I'm seeing, this thing that is coming, like a freight train, and you look in the freight train and you wonder who's driving the train. It's a driverless train. And how do I stop this thing? And the brakes are broken off. It is certainly coming. A hard impact into modern society, and you're going to blink and you're going to see this thing everywhere. You're going to blink and daily life is going to be different. You're going to blink and you're going to see this abomination of desolation standing in the temple and saying that he is God. Thus saith the Lord. But I will be with you. My true people, you are so few. You are like a scattering of stars, sparkling in a dark night. I will be with my true church until the very last, empowering you to great things, great feats. The gospel will still be preached. An expensive gospel now, because life will be the prize. It's no longer your big conferences. It's no longer about the noise that you make right now. A cacophony, God is saying. Many voices, so many voices. Everyone is saying something. And he says there's no truth in it. There's no weight in the words. There's no weight in the words that are coming forth into the ears of people right now. And that's why the rate of salvation is so low, because God is saying there's too much choice. There's too much choice. And you also don't know how to distinguish the good from the evil. But in that day, when life is the prize, when someone witnesses to you, when someone takes that risk, if you are not an informer, if you are not someone who is pretending, but if you are truly desperate and a Christian takes that risk and speaks about Jesus Christ to you, risking their life, because you could be a police officer, you could be an informant, you could be a mole, but if you are not those things and somebody risks their life to speak the gospel to you and you receive it, God says it will be a prize to you, a pearl of great price. It will be something that you would sell everything for. The gospel will be rare. It's very common now. It's everywhere. Everybody's a pastor. Everybody's a prophet. Everybody has a word. The times are coming. I'm telling you, to hear someone speaking a scripture over you when you're sick, it will be more precious to you than all the money you have in the bank right now. To hear someone saying when you cannot go to the AI clinic because you're not chipped up, so you can't even get past the front door because the front doors only respond to the chipped up people, chipped up hands and chipped up heads. When you are sick and there's no medicine and somebody with anointing, someone who knows Jesus, we will see who knows Jesus. Oh, God is saying the lights that will burn in my church. No one will mistake you. True church of Jesus Christ. No one will mistake you. I will light you up as the stars of the night sky. And God says that some of you will burn so brightly that they will put you out. They will put you out. They will put Christians to death. They will put Christians to death in the beast system. The brightness of the Lord will be too much. The boldness of the Lord will be too much. Some of you are going to preach like Stephen, and that's where it's going to end for you. You are not going to be able to restrain your tongue, and well, you should not, because that is my will for you. Some of you are going to be stoned like Apostle Paul, and that is my will for you. He was stoned, he was beaten, and they could not put out the light. They tried to boil John, they could not put out the light. You will shake the earth, an earthquake, a tremor coming out of the true remnant church. The false will perish. The false will fall away. I will pare them off you like the parts of an apple that has gone bad. A lot of the church, I see it, is like an apple with so many bruised parts, so many blackened parts. Who wants to eat that part? It's not tasty. It's not healthy. You cut it off and then you eat the part of the apple that is left. The Lord says, what do you think remnant means? It means you who are left. After I have purged the whole and the false have departed, the false have departed after their master, the dragon. The false have fallen away. There will be a falling away and the false will depart. They went out from us because they were not of us. They will not be able to cleave to the remnant. The brightness of the Lord, the fire of the Lord will be upon his church. I'm telling you, it's going to be glorious. Even if it is like the book of Acts, even if we are meeting in secret, even if we are having to sing in a whisper, the Lord will be there. But some people, the boldness, the brightness, it will be too much. You will suddenly speak up of a clear day, of a clear day. You have been going to work for 3 years in this system. And then one day you suddenly begin to preach from the book of Acts. You suddenly begin to speak the Psalms out in this booming voice. Why? God says that at times when it's time to fertilize the field and there is no farmer, it happens by an organic process. The wind picks up the seeds and the wind carries it and fertilizes the field that way. In the Bible, it is called whatever shall grow of itself. When you have to leave the land fallow in the seventh year, you are not allowed to farm. The seventh year, your land is supposed to lie fallow and rest. But that organic process was created by God, not only because that's how nature works, but he was always testing his people in the seventh year. He gave them a bumper harvest in the sixth year so that they would have enough, but then he also caused stuff to grow in the field naturally. Simply, the wind would spread the seeds, it would rain on it, and a man who was not working in his field could somehow come and see stuff growing there, and he could have it, but he was also supposed to share it with the poor. Some people just simply left what grew in the field so that the poor could come and harvest it because they don't have fields to farm. That's how the gospel is going to keep going. You kill Christians, more Christians will form in the underground. You raid Christians, you won't get all of them. You raid where they live, you won't get all of them. You put them to death, they'll preach until you kill them, and the executioner will get saved and quit the job. Those in the crowd watching, the gospel will pierce them in their hearts. And they will depart out of that system, depart out of that life. Millions, the Lord says, millions and millions in the valley of decision. You haven't made a decision for Jesus Christ and you think you have all day. You think somebody's going to wait for you? Think again. Man, woman, child, think again. The days are evil. The days are evil. I think at this time we'll just bring it to a pause. We'll bring it to a pause right here.